What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Sean Salisbury Show here on the Believe Network. Man, we had a fun weekend of both college and NFL games. Maybe after week three, we have a new king in the NFL as of right now. There's two teams fighting for that, in my opinion. We'll talk about that in just a second. College football. Tennessee kind of had the script flipped on them with Florida running all the plays. But Tennessee still gets the big win. We'll talk about that as well. Plus, indeed, plenty more injuries that can affect the NFL playoff race and what teams do moving forward. But as we always do, the show's brought to you by Bet Online.
It sure is. And boy, are we lucky to have it. I know you say both you and I are customers, as we like to be a part of it. And they are impactful for our show and sports and for you. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, the NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. Bet Online continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting to props and to futures. Head to Bet Online today. Or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code. It's BELIEVE50, capital B, and go caps all the way across, BLEAV, and the number 50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Yep, betonline.com is where you go, Sig. So there you have it. And they're awesome, and we're grateful to have them part of our show, my man.
Yes, as always, betonline.com. All right, Sean, I asked the question before the read. I'm going to ask it to you right now. As of now, if we're looking at this as a, you know, college style AP top 25 type thing, do we have
the committee, Seg? Seg, yes. You and I are on the committee right now.
We're
right?
Putting votes in for the top team in the NFL. Are you putting down a one next to the Miami Dolphins after beating the Buffalo Bills 21-19?
I am, because of their last opponent and the way they're doing things, but I got a close second, and it's in the other conference, and they're the best team in the other conference. So I'm assuming you're figuring that Philadelphia is number two in a close race, correct?
Yes.
And two quarterbacks that the world told us, Segs, were going to suck, right?
Right.
That they'll be okay. You know, this guy, Hurts, will beat you with his feet, but can't beat you with his arm, really?
Yep.
Okay. I'm seeing different. And, oh, two, his arm's not strong enough. He's accurate, but, man, he can't quite get it there. And the measurables, all those things, right? Well, I'm watching one guy kick ass in the AFC and Mike McDaniel dialing it up, throwing on time and doing those things and playing tough after that hit he took. And then the other side, I'm watching Jalen Hurts beat you in every which way and still not getting the overall credit for being that guy that we'd give – Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes or somebody else, credit Herbert, guys, you know, that deserve what they're doing. He's beating you every way. Tua is doing everything with on time and getting weapons ball. And here's the key, Segs. Both have coaches that are utilizing the weapons, and both have weapons, perimeter weapons, that are taking care of their business. So, yeah, Miami, because the opponent they – now, Segs, if you and I were betting at Bet Online and you said – if this game were 6 weeks from now, would you pick Buffalo or Miami on a neutral side? I'd still probably take Buffalo. I think they're, but losing Micah Hyde, they don't have Tre'Davious White. It's getting, their defense is really good, but you can't lose guys and keep losing them and say that it doesn't hurt. Of course it hurts. So with that, but I'm going by, like we said, we are the NFL's version of the committee. And after 3 weeks, the two best teams in the National Football League reside in Miami and reside in Philly. And if you want to flip them because you feel better about it, fine. But everybody said that Buffalo was clearly the best, and I get it. The heat, the temperature, I understand going to Miami. And Miami capitalized and took care of their business. Gave up a lot of yards, but won and took care of it. I got Miami and Philadelphia in that order, and it's close, but Miami first.
Yeah, and the reason I'd say Miami first, if we're doing it like we talk about an AP-style top 25, is look at who they beat. Week one, they go beat the Patriots. Week two, they come back down all those points and scored 28 points in the fourth quarter against the Baltimore Ravens, another very good team in the AFC. And then you just mentioned it. They beat the top dog. everybody's top dog going into this week.
Strength of schedule, Segs. That's right. What we're asking for on this committee, right? There you have it.
And my favorite thing I kept hearing was, oh, the Buffalo defense was gassed. They were gassed in that heat. The Buffalo Bills ran how many more plays on offense than the Miami offense? I mean, it was great. Josh Allen threw what, 60 times? 63 times Josh Allen threw.
Just over 60.
Yeah, 63 times. They ran the ball 23 times. I mean, that's 86 plays that Miami's defense was on the field.
That's Tennessee, or that's usually the Tennessee Volunteers in college.
Exactly. Right. And I mean, they gave up 400 yards passing, did the Dolphins. They gave up 115 yards on the ground, 5 yards a carry, and they still held the league's maybe best offense to 19 points. So
exactly right.
While Buffalo's defense stepped up with everybody missing that they were, and they played good, and you know, they held a high-powered offense down to only 21 points and held Tyreek Hill to like 33 yards. Tua made the big play when they needed it. That 50-yard strike down to Jaylen Waddle to get them down to what, the 5 or whatever it was.
And a phenomenal throw, right? Phenomenal throw. And Segs, with that, here's a couple things. And I'm not dogging Buffalo because I love the Bills, and I know you do too. We know how good they are and how dynamic they are. But I hear, instead of giving the Dolphins credit, I hear a lot of reasons why we shouldn't. And I'm not sure why. I understand it's hot, but I can tell you this, you can't simulate that. If you practice in it, it still wears down. How you lead into a game and understanding hydration and cramps and all that. But if I go in and play, let's say I'm a home team and I'm in Green Bay, or me in Minnesota, we practiced indoors, right? Or outdoor segs, right? And we're getting ready to go play Green Bay. Or if I'm in Arizona, dude, it's cold. It's not just colder if Arizona comes plays us back. It's not just cold for the hot team. Hell, I don't want to play in 28 degree weather either. It's still miserable. Yeah. You still got to catch it. I mean, most of the people who play weren't born in the city they're playing in, like Green Bay or Arizona or Minnesota. So I understand slight advantage because you had to go on the road and the heat got you, because maybe it's not that type of temperature up where you're from, but you both have to play in it. And then another thing, Segs, is I think you look at Tyreek Hill less than 50 yards. Isn't that the sign of a good team, that your top weapon's taken away and you still can win?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? If they take Diggs away and he has one catch for 20 yards, but they can still find a way to win and beat a good team, which Buffalo is capable of doing, then guess what? That's a compliment to the other weapons and the way you overcome when you're not playing your best. I love Buffalo, but I refuse to diminish or shrink Miami's performance because of heat or because Tyreek Hill didn't have a big game. Well, all the more reason why they're good. Their best weapon didn't have his best game, and they didn't get it to him for 180 yards. So it may change next week, but this week, as it sits in our power rankings and our reason why, in our strength of schedule, in our committee, in our AP poll for the NFL, we got it right. It's Miami and Philadelphia, and wouldn't that be a fun game to watch, huh?
Yeah,
it would
definitely
be a blast to watch.
And just more to your point, I just told you that Josh Allen threw for 400 yards and 2 touchdowns on 63 attempts. Whoa. I just told you that 115 yards on the ground for the Bills, 5 yards a carry. Tua only threw the ball for 186 yards and a touchdown. Now, he's 13 of 18. He was really good when he did it, but he didn't have these big yards like he has in weeks past. And again, Miami's run game still has not got going. Only 17 carries for 41 yards.
Right.
It's not even 2.5 yards a carry. And they still found a way to win the game. That impresses me more than going out and throwing for 500 yards and winning 38-0.
I'm so glad you said it.
Yeah, you find ways to win game in the NFL. You're a good team, because this is how it's going to be in the playoffs when you lock horns with really good teams.
Right.
You have to find ways to win games.
And they're all, and when you get the playoffs, everybody's good.
Yes.
You'll get a blowout once in a while, but it's a struggle, man. It's bullshit. I mean, when people say, oh, they should win, it's hard to win. And it gets harder as the season goes on and teams start to separate themselves. I can tell you this, that I know in my life, business, football, whatever, failures I've learned far more. And I've learned far more about myself in all those too. I learned far less about a team. Oh, well, Segs, my Trojans win 17-14 at Oregon State, right? I mean, in Corvallis, Vegas knew something because it was a 6-point spread.
We talked about it. Yep.
You're damn right. We led into it last week talking about how this is dangerous, right? And they, you know, they've blown a couple teams out, and they're scoring on their first seven or eight possessions in the pet, right? Well, they went up and faced something different. Now, you tell me, do you find out more when we hang 56 on possibly, let's say we throw 50 on Arizona State this week and beat them after they've changed coaches? Or do we find out more you going up to a 3-0 team in Corvallis when you're tested and you leave there? You tell me what you know more about a team, 48-10 or 17-14. I know what I know. Now that I've seen both, that win's going to sustain them more than the blowout of a team they're supposed to hammer. Right. I'm just telling you, it does. And that's why these situations you presented tell me far more about a team and their guts than coast into a win where you throw for 400, run for 200, you get a pitch a shutout, and everybody's laughing and wondering where they're going to dinner in the middle of the third quarter.
Right.
With it, 100%.
And it was, you know, for USC, it was coming back down to the final minutes. They were down 14-10 and getting that late touchdown to take the lead.
That's, you know, exactly it, right. Just, gut check.
Yes. Are you going to give up? You know, because those are kids, you know, do they say, damn, we just don't have it this week. Like, screw it. Like, we'll take the loss and we'll try and win out and hopefully good things happen. No, they found a way with the superior talent to go out and win the game at the end. And that's what you want from your team. And that's exactly what the Miami Dolphins did. When it came nut cutting time, Tua stepped up and made that throw, and Jalen Waddle got open and made the catch. And then they got it in the end zone. So moving on to the Eagles. I mean, you mentioned it, Jalen Hurts. He's been just as good as Tua. They've been the two best quarterbacks in the league, along with Josh Allen. And it's just.
And he's better with his feet. I mean, he's a better runner than Tua is.
Yes.
He can extend it better.
He's a guy that can extend the play. If you get him out in open space, he's quick enough that he can pick up a quick 20 yards in a blink of an eye. And the Eagles defense is nasty. And again, like you said, they have the weapons. Not this week. It's Devonta Smith steps up with 170 ish yards in a touchdown
and two phenomenal catches in the game.
Yes. And AJ Brown is there now. And I mean, you have those two together. I mean, we've talked about it. That's one of the best duos in the league. And then you got the big tight end and Goddard getting a touchdown catch as well. I mean, this is exactly what Philadelphia saw coming. I don't think they saw Jalen Hurts like this, because this is MVP
talking about quantum
level
leap,
play.
Man. Yes, agreed.
But, you know, hopefully they can keep it up there in Philly, because, like you said, right now, the way they're playing, they are the best team in the NFC.
And I think he's the MVP in the NFC. I'm talking about in the NFC. I do. I think he's the front runner. Now, I know it's a long season, but like anything else, we do the Heisman Trophy front runner each week. Jalen Hurts is it in the NFC. And his ability to beat you now in more ways than one, and he's doing it. And people don't realize, I don't think, Segs, that have never either stood next to him. That's a big physical kid, man. You know what I'm saying? He's a strong, big dude, and he can bring it with that. And you mentioned, Segs, about Philadelphia. Didn't it feel all the stuff I know they can do on offense now, their defense rising up too, and they're getting after it. And I know it wasn't like this, but it felt when I was watching that game that they said, well, Carson used to be here. Let's just make this personal and go sack him nine times. I mean, honestly, I'm not, but it felt like it was like, oh, we got a fist fight. And we're about to show him that that this is the place, just to remind him of where that Super Bowl ring comes from. It was weird. And and Carson started out statistically pretty good this year. And I feel it's an upgrade for Washington, but they beat, battered, and punished and attacked that game like crazy. So this isn't just a one-hit wonder, one-dimensional, should I say, one side of the ball team. Their defense getting after two. And when what a novel concept, Segs, right? Playmaking quarterbacks. We mentioned Miami, playmaking quarterback in Philly right now, playing at a high level. Coaches who get it and are teaching, and defenses who are disruptive right now. And weapons on offense. What a novel concept. You got those four things, you're going to win a lot of games.
Happen.
You're damn right they are. And they're happening right now.
Yeah, just beating the shit out of a division rival and then watching, you know, you're sitting down Monday night and you watch that game last night and you're thinking to yourself, if you're the Eagles, we should win this game, this division, by five games, because those two teams that played last night are bad. The Cowboys are bad without Dak Prescott. I know they won the game. I know they're both 2-1. But you can't watch that game and be like, yeah, those are true contenders in the NFC. It's like the Bears being 2-1. Stop. Yeah, Denver 2-1. Yeah, like
Denver's 2-1 too, right?
Right.
But when Denver plays Kansas City and all of them are good, or Denver played Buffalo, and I mean, well, if we're staying in the division, and I know both Kansas City and the Chargers lost, but when you look at the three-game body of work,
yeah,
Denver's in a major chase mode, right? Ooh. So 2-1, I give them credit for finding ways to win. But they sure as hell ain't doing it offensively for four quarters. So, yeah, man, if you're the Eagles, you're saying, well, Cowboys, you better bring a little bit more than Micah Parsons. Better have about 80 you guys on the field when you play us, because you're going to need it. And offensively, is Roger Staubach or Aikman got any eligibility left? No disrespect to Cooper Kupp, because he's a monster. I mean, he's in the Cooper Kupp, not Cooper Kupp, Cooper Rush. Cooper Kupp is a monster.
Yeah, he is
killing it in Los Angeles. But Cooper Rush is doing what a good backup's supposed to do, sustain it, play solid football, and give your team a chance. And I'm proud of him. But you're going to have to bring a little bit more offense if you want to keep up with us, because Philadelphia, they're going up and down the field at a rapid pace and playing really good.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yeah. Looking at some injuries in the NFL, we mentioned Tua. I kind of want to go back to that real quick. What did you think of that whole circumstance? Mike McDaniel saying it was a back injury that he sustained earlier in the game and his legs were just kind of jelly because of the back? Or, I mean, when you get up and you fall after hitting your head, you know where everybody's going, and it's all about the concussion, and it's all about him getting right back in the game after a quick check. Well, what was your thought process as you watched that whole thing unravel?
One is, if they went through if it was his head and they went through the proper protocol and he passed, I have no problem, because that's called the test. If and I would imagine the medical staff, if it was his head, did. I guess the thing that bothered me the most, well, I felt bad because Tua looked rad. I mean, he looked like he got up from being, you know, a head rusher drunk, right? I mean, like, you know, that feeling like, whoa, been sitting around with my buddies all day watching football. I drink up and it's hot outside and like, ooh, catch him so he doesn't fall, hit it, you know, fall down, right? That's how it felt. But I don't like the discrepancy that they went in and it was his head and they came out and at the end of the game, it was his back. So I don't know. Hopefully it was just miscommunication and not deceit, right? And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. But if it was his head and they went through proper protocol, I'm never a guy by optics that tells you as a non-doctor that, well, he shouldn't have come back in. If he passes all the tests and whatever machine they're using, then he should come back in. It looked now, Segs, I've had, you know, between the shoulder blades, when you get that, between that you get strained muscles where it takes your breath away between the shoulder blades and kind of like, let's say you're not sleeping much or you're going through, and it drops you to your knees. I've had that. And it's like, whoa. And the truth is, trying to get up drops you back to your knees. That's hard to do. I've never got up and wobbled like that. And on the other side, well, I've had a buzz or two before that I've wobbled. Mm-hmm. And I've also had that injury, maybe not like that, but been hit in the head to where you're like, what sideline? And you're a little bit wompy jawed, right? Now, when I saw the hit and him get up, I'm like, dude, he has zero idea where he's at now. That was my initial thought, because we all have that initial thought. But I didn't like the discrepancy in what it was, the way they explained it at halftime and at the end, how they weren't on the same page. But if it was the head and protocol existed and they passed protocol, I don't have any problem putting him back in the game, because that's exactly why you hire those doctors. So it looked worse apparently than it was, because he came back and played, but it looked bad. But don't tell me he can't take a hit, because that hit, I mean, the way he got up looked like it was, it rattled his cage a little bit, regardless of where the injury was.
And that's an NFL thing now. The NFL appoints these doctors. The teams have no say in when it comes to concussions.
And that's the way it should be, Sage.
Yes,
exactly. Keep it separate from them so they don't play favorites and try to get your guy back on the field which in my time, it was a doctor there. Can you smell this? Go play, right? Now it's, you don't get a say. They ain't getting a say. This is an independent doctor who's going to tell you if the guy can go back right in and play.
Mac Jones with the Patriots, he suffered a high ankle sprain. Sounds like he could be out maybe up to a month. The Patriots haven't been playing well as it is.
They got Hoyer. Yep.
They do have Brian Hoyer, who's a veteran that understand, been in that system, been with that team for a long time, in and out. And do you feel like they can even keep up, or is this kind of just a wash year for the Patriots? And it's kind of, let's start developing, get Mac back, see what we can develop with him as the season goes on.
They'll hang around, Segs, just because it's Belichick's team. I didn't have him as a playoff team going in. I don't think they have enough weapons on the offensive side of the ball. I just don't. I don't think they have enough weapons. I do think that they're good enough to beat somebody they're not supposed to beat. And Hoyer's a veteran, so you got a guy who can withstand that, if that makes sense. You know, they can keep you in the right. Now, you're not going to do much spectacular. You're hoping that he sustains it, but that's why you go get a backup. And he's been in that at three different times. He's been a Patriot.
Right.
You're just missing out on the way that Mac Jones plays and why he's a starter. I just don't think they have enough weapons. They'll beat somebody along the line with him out they're not supposed to beat. I don't believe they're a playoff team. I think they lack too many weapons.
And then scary situation. Myles Garrett gets into a car crash yesterday where his car flips multiple times, supposedly tried to avoid an animal in the road with a wet road, and him and a female passenger, both okay. Miraculously, no broken bones, no life-threatening injuries on either. So good thing for that. I mean, just a scary situation when your star pass rusher, if you're the Browns or in the NFL, one of your superstars has that type of situation happen.
No, there's no question. And you look at the vehicle, and I heard my buddy in San Francisco, Ray Ratto, describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray described it as that when you look at it and on their show, it looked like a folded up piece of paper. I mean, a crumbled piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good description. That Porsche, when you look at it, you think, how in the world do you grateful to be alive, right? Sex in a single car. I mean, you look at that Porsche, it looked bad. And they were being meaning, man, how grateful, you know, what a blessing that you came out of that alive, an unfortunate circumstance, thankful nobody else was involved, that Myles Garrett has no life-threatening injuries. But that's a when you look at the vehicle, if you didn't know anything, you'd say, man, did that person survive that crash? That's what you would think. But hopefully things will be okay, and glad that he got out of that. But man, just like that, in the blink of an eye on your way home, that happens. Danger stuff. And it sure as heck didn't look great. And what a blessing that he came out of that one. It appears to be with no life-threatening injuries, wherever that goes from here, but dangerous and gut-wrenching to see.
Yeah, for sure. And then the final big injury that I saw coming out of this week is the Chargers losing Rashawn Slater, the young left tackle, who's one of the best young left tackles in football. That's tough for a Chargers team where Justin Herbert's already beat up, and they just got throttled by the Jacksonville Jaguars in a game that, you know what, Justin Herbert played. Kudos to him for taking that hit, having that injury, and playing. But if you're going to play, there's no excuse for getting your ass kicked like that. You're supposed to be a team that we talk about every year, the Chargers. This is the year that they're going to go in and they're going to make a run. And every year we see injury after injury, and we see bad loss after bad loss with this team. And it's every time the players change, the coaches change, but nothing changes when it comes to the team and how things work with them. I don't understand it. As a Charger, you know, I like to support them because I think they're a good football team. They got a lot of talent, but you know, enough's enough. You got to win these games. It's the Jaguars. I know they're good and Trevor's playing good, but Jesus Christ, 38-10 at home.
Yeah, they got curb stomped. And I think the Jaguars are playing better than anybody in the division. We saw the Chargers do this against the Texans last year. Texans took care of their business. And it's become routine for them to do this with all that talent. But listen, I watched the guys on the field, and Trevor Lawrence looks – the quantum leaps taken off, and they are the most complete. The way they're playing, they play more complete than any of the other three teams in the division has Jacksonville. So you knew they were formidable, but they beat down the Chargers, beat them down. And if you want to be competitive, you're grateful if you're the Charger fans that the Chiefs didn't find a way to close their game out, didn't take it. They allowed stupid penalty by Chris Jones and allow the Colts, who were not playing very well offensively, go down and score and chase you down. But Yeah, the Chargers are going to have to fix that. They're going to have to find some DNA that says we're a great closing team every week, all the time, and we got to beat the teams we're supposed to beat. And maybe, just maybe, Jacksonville's that team that goes from worst to first in their division, Segs. I know it's early, but they're sure playing with a sense of urgency. And Doug Peterson's got some buy-in going on in Jacksonville. And I love the way Trevor Lawrence, he's looking like the guy we thought was the first pick of the draft. That's starting to match up.
Just looking at it from everything we've seen coming into the season, everybody's talking about the AFC West. Oh, my God, it's going to be a gauntlet. It's going to be so tough. And everybody's talking AFC South sucks. You know, it's the worst division in football by far. AFC South just went 3-0 against the AFC West this weekend.
That's exactly right.
The Titans beat the Raiders, who the Raiders are the only 0-3 team in football. I know that's your team, but, I mean, geez, how do you bring in Josh McDaniels? Now, Mark Davis is already having closed-door meetings with Josh McDaniels 3 games into the season because they look like complete shit and they can't do anything. And then you had the who was the other? Oh, yeah, as you said, the Colts beat the Chiefs. So it's just, I mean, embarrassing day for the AFC West when you lose three games that absolutely. You really shouldn't.
Yeah, there's no question on a division that we look at that's not very good. You're 100% correct. And that just goes to show you, and here we are now. We said the AFC is great. We got teams losing. The games are not supposed to. So let's find out where the depth is and how good it is. And teams are starting to settle in on their identity, Segs, and we'll find out where their identity is.
Yeah, for sure. And then real quick, we had someone ask you on Twitter about Justin Fields, but that game, I mean, Justin Fields was downright awful. The Bears win the game. I think it was 23-20. I don't even remember the final score. Win on a last-second field goal. And Davis Mills looks lost, throws a late interception that you just can't throw in that situation. Both quarterbacks, to me, didn't look good, but people were asking about Justin Fields. I'm a Bears fan. He was downright awful. He was downright missing throws left and right. He wasn't throwing the ball at certain times when guys were open. Now that I've seen some of the All-22, it's just things aren't looking good. And I put some of this on Luke Getsy, the new offensive coordinator, because he comes out and runs the ball 3 times when they're all 1st and 10, 2nd and 10, 3rd and 10. He's just running the ball every time. I know they, ran the ball down their throats, but at some point you got to give your young quarterback a chance. And things right now, we talk about the Chargers. You just lose games you shouldn't lose, and it's just same thing season after season after season. I'm a Bears fan. This whole quarterback bullshit with the Bears is just – it's going on too long. I can't handle any more failures at the quarterback position. And I'm not calling Justin Fields a failure, but damn if he's not trending that way.
Yep. He's – now, one thing about Sakes, here's the thing. You run for 287 yards or whatever with backup running back and no passing game threat, which is major indictment on the damn Texans run game defense.
They're brutal. Because
you know they're not throwing it. And when they do throw it, they don't throw it very well, and you still get gassed with the backup running back. Now Fields got a long way to go in the pass game. They got a lot of weapons they got to get taken care of. It looks to me like they're just playing it safe and trying to run it, play defense, and Roquan Smith was a friggin' monster. You're going to get paid. Ooh. Boy, was he everywhere. Yeah, dominated the game against the Texans. But, yeah, I like I said, it's early. They haven't had weapons since Fields been there, but we got to start to see strides in the accuracy and the decision-making in the passing game. He's a big body that can run it, but I'm still waiting for him to take the next step. Regardless, the optics got to look different, right, Seg? So, listen, he has not been good, and right now he scares nobody in the passing game. We'll see where it goes from here. Ed Gets, he's got to help him by dialing stuff up and trying to create some mismatches, but he's also got to help himself by throwing on time and being patient, get through his decisions and throw it in accurately. That's what this position is.
Yeah, and for Getsy, I think it's get Justin in a rhythm with some easy throws. It's everything seems to be down the field or just immediately throw out to the flat. Like there's no 6-7 yard routes that just easy throws to start a game and get him in a rhythm. The other thing is, we see Trevor Lawrence going, things going very well with Doug Peterson in his first year. We see Tua and Mike McDaniel thriving in their first year. And then there's some other coaches that are in their first year where things are a big time struggle, like in Chicago. What do you think as a young quarterback, forget like Russ in that whole situation, as a young quarterback, like the three we're talking about, how does that level out when it comes to getting in a new system and learning everything new?
Oh, I think there's a major learning curve. And Sags, remember, there's another, now he's on his second coordinator in 2 years,
mm-hmm.
meaning Fields, right?
Right.
And in truth, for a guy like Davis Mills, who Pep Hamilton was on staff but wasn't calling the play. So there is a curve. When it comes to Jimmy and Russ Wilson, I don't want to hear that that it's a learn. No, you've been in the league long now. For Russ, verbiage difference, right? A little bit of verbiage difference, but you got to adjust to it. And it may take a minute, but he's just not playing great football. For Jimmy, you've been in the same system. If you're rusty throwing it, fine. But I don't want to hear that you didn't have a playbook. You should know that up and down and be able to teach it yourself. But there is, Segs, we got to be fair to these young guys, because what happens when you're swimming in it mentally, it affects you physically. When the light switch goes on and it looks like, well, look how fast Lawrence has learned the system with what Doug Peterson's doing. So each guy's different. I don't know their level of, it's like when somebody gets hurt and their ability to, you know, their threshold of pain. My threshold of pain may be different during a knee replacement than somebody else's, right? And I think it's the same with the learning curve, whether Davis Mills' learning curve, it takes longer, and Justin Fields, he's faster at it, or, you know, Trevor Lawrence is faster at it than Mac Jones or vice versa, whatever it is. I do believe there is we got to be fair, but that's why you got to devote your all week long. That's a continuous, perpetual thing to keep studying and be up on. It takes a minute, because I know this: when you're mentally sharp, it's easier physically. You can be physically great, but if mentally you're not on top of what's going on, it's still an uphill battle. It'll take a minute. We got to be fair to these young players.
Yeah, and in Fields' case, another thing for him in his favor is when you talk about Tua and Trevor Lawrence, Fields just has nobody to throw to. Darnell Mooney's being doubled every play. He's the only legitimate wide receiver they have. I mean, they've got other guys hurt. Their third-round pick is still hurt. He has not played yet this season. So if you're a Bears fan, one thing you can look at Tua and look at, you know, if you go out, I mean, the Bears have something like $112 million in cap space next year. I mean, if you can't get them some weapons, then shame on you, Ryan Poles, as the GM.
Ask Tua and Jalen Hurts how important weapons are.
Exactly. Exactly.
Quantum leaps. They'll tell you. Yes. Oh, yes, it does matter. And we'll ask Justin Fields between Ohio State. He had better weapons at Ohio State than he has with the Bears.
Easily.
It's true. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's pretty obvious. And so it's going to take a minute. And then the excuses are by year three, excuses got to go out the window, because even if then we're starting to expect you to elevate the guys who aren't great players. That's what we expect. And that'll be the next step for him.
Looking at college football, we mentioned it. Tennessee, Hendon Hooker played outstanding as they top Florida to now jump into the top 10. They're a good football team. And I mentioned it. Florida ran like over 90 plays, and Tennessee ran, I want to say, in the 60s or somewhere along those lines. So kind of a script flip, and Tennessee took care of business. They played well, and they deserve to be a top 10 team right now.
I would say at this point in time that they're the most surprising top 10 team this early. I didn't think they'd make these leaps this quick. Now, I knew that the quarterback was good. You and I had discussed this, and we mentioned that last week, a guy to watch, and that they were going to run a lot of plays, the expectations have gone up, but where are those expectations? Well, I know where they are now. They think they're a national title contender. They do, the way they're, you know, you can tell the swagger, and it's really good to see. Knoxville was rocking. Mm-hmm. The fans are, that's one of the toughest places in the planet to play at any level when Knoxville's going at 100,000 and the tailgate and on the water. And it was really cool to see. And Josh Heupel's got them believing, man. Now, you can't have a letdown against a team you're supposed to beat each week, right?
Yep.
It's going to get tough, but I'm going to tell you what, they also, the other side of it, they're sending some fear, because you got a playmaking quarterback and they're going to run enough of them. And they also prove that they can win by, you're talking about, that's damn near a half's worth of plays more or so that Florida ran. And they contained that quarterback, and Hendon Hooker's becoming a household name and a dominant player, and Heupel's got him moving. This is a team that now it's almost becoming a can't miss ticket, Segs, because they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
And now they're competitive on a regular basis. I'm enjoying watching Tennessee's success, and I'm sure the fans are too.
I have some other stuff down. You know, Michigan played a close game against Maryland. You know, we mentioned the USC thing, Oregon barely surviving. Clemson, Wake Forest, that was a fun game. Ohio State dominates Wisconsin. Georgia kind of looked human against, I forgot who they played already. I don't have it written down here, but they only won by 17. But I want to end on this.
I pity the team that's got to play them this week.
Oh, I know, right? They're just going to bring out the woodshed. Right. But I want to end on this. Right. Miami and Texas. I don't want to hear about Miami and Texas going into next season or the rest of this season. I don't care about those two teams anymore. I keep hearing how they're both back. They got all these recruits and all this NIL money and stuff, and they still lose games that they should win. Miami loses to Middle Tennessee State. Tyler Van Dyke, the supposed first-round quarterback, if you listen to all the Hurricanes fans,
he gets benched.
Yeah, he got benched. And then Texas loses to Texas Tech, your in-state rival, and you're going to lose to them? Like, just all of those fans, just shut up the rest of the season. I don't want to hear anything from any of those fan bases.
Segs, as big a fan as I am, and you know this is my guy Sark,
right,
and I'm a big fan of Cristobal, and I know everybody's going to say it takes a minute. Well, Lincoln Riley, it takes a minute too. Their quarterback's playing great football. Yep. They got it. I mean, I'm just using that as an example. But here's what I'll tell you what it is, and it pains me to say for both, because football's better when the U,
yep,
when Michigan, when Texas is playing, but it's just better because more competition and the recruiting and all this stuff. But I will tell you this: don't come at me when you're just a guy. You're just a middle of the road football team right now. Both of them. Not the great players, and I love the fan. I mean, listen, I get it. But when you're trying to sell me on those two, it's eye-rolling right now. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Birdie the par fives, okay, on a tournament. And they don't do that enough. And until I see that leap, don't come at me. I keep hearing they're back. Both great, well-coached, but what this is constant. This has become Groundhog Day with these two universities. So, to me, they're just right now they're eye rolling and it's ho hum.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bummer, but that's the truth.
Win something, then come talk to me.
You know, there you go.
Get to a college football playoff, then come talk to me.
Amen. 100%, brother. I'm with you. Yep. So,
all right. That'll do it for this episode. As always, we were brought to you by betonline.com. You go there, get all your bets in, and win yourself some money. I mean, it's simple as that. I mean, it's not simple, but
this show so you can win. Yeah,
exactly. We'll tell you which team should win and which team shouldn't. But that'll do it for today. He's Sean. I'm Adam. We will talk to you later this week when we preview everything coming this weekend. All right. That's it. We'll talk to you.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.